Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we're starting with 277, is that right?
Kopi bhava yati pravu dariyache ekanta.
Kopi bhava yati pravu dariyache ekanta.
Rajendra nandane mane apanara kanta.
Rajendra nandane mane apanara kanta.
Kopi bhava yati pravu dariyache kanta. Brajendra nandane mane apanara kanta. Gopi bhava. The mood of the gopis. Yate. In which. Prabhu. The Lord. Daryache. Accepted. Ekanta, positively, Rajendra Nandane, Lord Krishna, Mane, they accept, Apanara, own, Kanta, lover. Translation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the mood of the gopis who accept Rajendra Nandana, Shri Krishna is their lover. Gopika bhavera e sudrida nischai Rajendra nandana vina anyatra nahai. It is firmly ascertained that the ecstatic mood of the gopis is possible only before Krishna and no one else. There's no purport, so I'll just keep on reading until we come to some purport. He has a bluish complexion, a peacock feather on his head, a gunja garland, and the decorations of a cowherd boy. His body is curved in three places, and he has a flute in his mouth. If Lord Krishna gives up this original form and assumes another Vishnu form, nearness to him cannot evoke the ecstatic mood of the gopis. Once Lord Krishna, with a playful motive, manifested himself as Narayan, with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. Seeing this exalted form, however, crippled the ecstatic feelings of the gopis. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic parama rasa with Krishna are the greatest mystery in spiritual life. Purport. This is a quotation from Lalita Madhava, 614 by Srila Rupa Goswami, 282. During the season of spring, when the rasa dance was going on, suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene, indicating that he wanted to be alone with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was sitting in a solitary bush, waiting for Srimati Radharani to pass by, but while he was searching, the gopis arrived there like a phalanx of soldiers. "Just see," the gopis said, seeing Krishna from a distant place. "Here, within a bush, is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj." As soon as Krishna saw all the gopis, he was struck with emotion. Thus he could not hide himself, and out of fear, he became motionless. Krishna assumed the four-armed Narayan form and sat there. When all the gopis came seeing him, they spoke as follows. "He's not Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan." After saying this, they offered obeisances and with the following respectful prayers. Lord Narayan, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly be merciful to us. Give us the association of Krishna and thus vanquish our lamentation. Purport. The gopis were not made happy even by seeing the forearm form of Narayan. Yet they offered their respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and begged from him the benediction of achieving the association of Krishna. Such is the ecstatic feelings of the gopis. After saying this and offering obeisances, all the gopis dispersed. When Srimati Radharani came and appeared before Lord Krishna, when Lord Krishna saw Radharani, he wanted to maintain the forearm form to joke with her. In front of Srimati Radharani, Krishna tried to hide his two extra arms. He tried his best to keep four arms before her, but he was completely unable to do so. The influence of Radharani's pure ecstasy is so inconceivably great that it forced Krishna to come to his original two-arm form. Prior to the Rasa dance, Krishna hid himself in a grove just to have fun. When the gopis came, their eyes resembling those of deer by his sharp intelligence. When the gopis came, their eyes resembling those of deer by his sharp intelligence, he exhibited his beautiful forearm form to hide himself. But when Srimati Radharani came, Krishna could not maintain his forearms in her presence. This is the wonderful glory of her love. Purport. This is a quotation from Ujjvalam Nilamani by Srila Rupa Goswami. Father Nanda, the king of Rajabhumi, is now Jagannath Misra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mother Jashoda, the queen of Rajabhumi, is now Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya's mother. Formerly the son of Nanda Maharaj is now, the former son of Nanda Maharaj is now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the former Baladev, Krishna's brother, is now Nityananda Prabhu, the brother of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Nityananda Prabhu always feels the ecstatic emotions of paternity, servitude, and friendship. He always assists Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way. Sri Nityananda Prabhu overflooded the entire world by distributing transcendental loving service. No one could understand his character and activities. Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu appeared as an incarnation of a devotee. He is the category of Krishna, but he descended to this earth to propagate devotional service. His natural emotions were always on the platform of fraternity and servitude, for the Lord sometimes treated him as his spiritual master. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur, have their own emotional humors in which they render service unto him. Personal associates like Gadadhar, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, and the six Goswamis headed by Rupa Goswami are all situated in their respective transcendental humors. Thus the Lord submits to various transcendental mellow positions. Purport. In verses 2696 through 301, the emotional devotional service of Sri Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu have been fully described. Describing such individual service, the Gora Ganodesha Deepika, verses 11 through 16, declares that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a devotee, he is none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, although Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared as Lord Chaitanya's assistant, he is none other than Baladev, the carrier of the plow. Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Sad Shiva from the spiritual world. All the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur are his marginal energy, whereas the devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are manifestations of his internal potency. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu all belong to the Vishnu category. Because Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of mercy, he is addressed as Mahaprabhu. Whereas Nityananda and Advaita, being two great personalities, who assist Lord Chaitanya, are addressed as Prabhu. Thus there are two Prabhus and one Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Goswami is a representative of the perfect Brahman spiritual master. Srivas Thakur represents a perfect Brahman devotee. These five are known as the Panchatattva. In Krishna Lila, the Lord's complexion is blackish, his flute in his mouth, he enjoys as a cowherd boy. Now the self-same person has appeared with a fair complexion, sometimes acting as a Brahman and sometimes accepting the renounced order of life. Therefore, the Lord himself, accepting the emotional ecstasy of the gopis, now addresses the son of Nanda Maharaj. O master of my life, O my dear husband. Text 304. Se Krishna se Gopi Parama Viroda Achintya Charitra Prabhura Ati Sudurabodha. He is Krishna, yet he accepted the mood of the gopis. How is it so? It is the inconceivable character of the Lord, which is very difficult to understand. Purport. Krishna's accepting the part of the gopis is certainly contradictory according to any mundane calculations. But the Lord, by his inconceivable character, may act like the gopis and feel separation from Krishna, although he is Krishna himself. Such a contradiction can be reconciled only in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he has energy that is inconceivable, achintya, which can make possible that which is impossible to do. Agatan, agatan, partiyasi. Such contradictions are very difficult to understand unless the devotee strictly follows the Vaishnava philosophy under the direction of the Goswamis. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ends every chapter with this verse, Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishnadas. Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas Nare, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following their footsteps. In a song by Narottam Das Thakur, it is stated, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Ha Ibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhujhava Se Yugala Priti. The conjugal love between Radha and Krishna, which is called Yugala Priti, is not understandable by mundane scholars, artists, or poets. It's simply to be understood by devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Sometimes so-called artists and poets try to understand the love affairs of Radha and Krishna, and they publish cheap books of poetry and pictures on the subject. Unfortunately, however, they do not understand the transcendental active affairs of Radha and Krishna, even to the smallest degree. Thus they are simply meddling in a matter which they are not fit even to enter. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Puristai Vidaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Bajarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitarne Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidite Natat Samastya Vyadikas Chajishite Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Swabhavaki Jnana Bhava Kriyacha. It is said that Krishna has nothing to do. And of course, we can understand that Krishna, in one sense, he says that he's not the doer. Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spriha, iti mam yo bijananti, karma virana sabhadite. There is no work that binds me, nor am I attached to the fruits of the activities, nor am I actually doing anything, Krishna says. And that one who understands this truth about me, he also doesn't become bound up by the reactions of work. Of course, the way Krishna is not doing anything is also called achintya. Because it is all, Krishna also says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetu Nanena Kunteya Jagat Vipari Vartate. This entire world is moving under my direction. So how, if you have billions and trillions of universes moving according to your will, and everything's happening according to will, how can you say that you're not doing anything? Just like if you take a stick and you beat someone with it, and the police come and arrest you, and they say, you're under arrest for beating someone with a stick. And you go, I didn't hit anyone. It was the stick that hit them. Don't blame me. Arrest the stick. No, if you're the one who's somehow or another involved, then how can you claim that you're not the doer of the activity? Even indirectly, it appears that Krishna is responsible for everything that's going on, and still he claims that he's the non-doer. But Krishna says that he's the non-doer in the sense that, as he says later on, Sarabhutani Kunteya Prakritim yanti mamikam kalpa shaye punastani kalpa do visrijamyaham. At the beginning of the creation, all living entities come forth from me, all manifestations come forth from me, and then at the end of their annihilation, everything enters into me. Bhuta gramam sa evayam, bhutva bhut prakritim prakritim swam adishtaya, prakritim swam adishtaya. What's next? No. Prakriti yanti bhutani, vishrijami punak, bhuta gramam imam krishnam, avasham prakritim vashat. Again and again, the material nature is coming out of me, and again it's entering into me. But then Krishna explains how he's not responsible. Nachamam tani karmani, nivandanti dhananjaya, udasinadvar asinam asaktam teshu karmasu. That all this work cannot bind me, I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. So Krishna is compared to the judge. That the judge, he may be awarding one person a huge amount of wealth, and another person comes before him, and he says, you're going to be hanged. But the person who's going to be hanged, he can't say, wait a second, this is unfair. Why did you award the last man $1 million and decide to hang me? Why don't you be a little bit more fair about it? Why don't you hang him and give me $1 million? But the judge, theoretically, is not acting according to his own desires. He's acting according to the activities and the desires of the person who comes before him. He's simply udasinadvat. He's neutral. He's simply laying down the law. Similarly, Krishna, although he may be involved in the actions and reactions of unlimited living entities, but he himself has nothing to do with what their results are. This is simply depending upon their own activities and desires. So in that sense, Krishna is not the doer, although without Krishna's will, that not a blade of grass will move. So this is called achintya shakti, inconceivable energy. That Krishna is doing everything but is responsible for nothing in the material world. And one who comes to the same platform of consciousness as Krishna, then he also doesn't become bound by his particular activities. That he seems to be doing something, but actually because he's simply in Krishna consciousness, he's not doing anything. And similarly, as it explains here, that Krishna, he has so many inconceivable potencies, just like we read in the Nectar of Devotion, Krishna is called Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prasanta, and Dhira Madhava. So, Dhira Prasanta, Dhira Lalita, Dhirodhata, and Dhirodhata. So Krishna has completely different personalities as Dhirodhata than Krishna. He's envious, he's mischievous, he's cruel. Just like when he sent Kalyavana a letter saying, my dear Kalyavana, you are just like a frog, and I'm just like a big black snake. I'm going to come there and swallow you up just like a frog. Just like a snake swallows up a frog. So he appears to be envious and doesn't seem like the type of person you'd like to meet on the street. And at the same time, Krishna is Dhirodhata, which means that he's generous and forgiving and noble and heroic. Just like when Indra decided to rain down the Shyamantaka clouds upon Vrindavan and was pouring rain, then Krishna decided at once, I'm going to simply smash the kingdom of Indra. But then he thought, why should I bother doing that? Indra's kingdom is completely insignificant. It would be a waste of my time. Therefore, he decided to hold up Govardhan Hill with his left pinky. So this shows his forgiving, heroic nature, his ability to do fantastic deeds. And dear Krishna is also dear Prasanta, dear Lalita. So as dear Lalita, he's very forgiving, compassionate, and very noble, just like Maharaj Yudhisthira. So Krishna has so many contradictory personalities, and they're all resolved in Krishna. That Krishna exhibits his different personalities simply according to his desires to please the devotees. That when Bhishma Dev wanted to see Krishna, in one form Krishna appeared before him to kill him with a wheel, but then due to Arjuna's desire, he didn't do it. So, to, in order to satisfy his devotees, Krishna will even break his own promise. He'll even run to kill his own devotee to satisfy another devotee. And then another devotee will stop him from doing it. So these are all inconceivable pastimes. And Krishna exhibits them according to his desire, simply to please his devotee. So similarly, Krishna is coming as his own devotee. So this should not surprise us. In his pastime with the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, after killing the Agasura demon, then all the demigods began to shower flowers and glorify the Gandharvas. The Apsaras were dancing, the Gandharvas were all singing his glories. And Brahma said, What's going on? Why is there a big concert? It was scheduled for next Saturday, but now there's a big concert going on now. So he went down to see what was going on, and there he saw that they were glorifying this little cowherd boy. So he couldn't figure it out. So he decided this little cowherd boy has become a big star, that they're having a big concert because of him. Well, let's see what his power is. So he stole away all his cowherd boys and calves and hid them into a cave and then took off. But then he thought, well, maybe I made a mistake. So he came back in one moment of his life, which was less than a moment, which was just a third of a moment. He came back, that was 1 year. And during that year, Krishna had expanded himself into so many cowherd boys and so many calves. And not only they looked like those cowherd boys and the calves, but they were exactly the same in every feature and every part of their mentality and personality. And when they entered back into their homes, then all the mothers of the cowherd boys, they didn't notice any difference between the cowherd boys, who are their own sons, and the expansion of Krishna, who is now appearing as their cowherd boy, as the cowherd boys. The only difference they noted is that somehow or another their love for their own sons had increased. Previously they loved their sons, but they loved Krishna even more than their own sons. But now that Krishna had expanded as their son, now their love for their sons increased to be equal to that of Krishna. Similarly, the calves, although they were affectionately treated before by their mothers, but now that they were actually Krishna in the form of a calf, now the love for the cows for their calves increased to the same degree as their love for Krishna. So only Baladev, he noticed that there were some strange things going on. Just like one time the cows were on the top of Govardhan Hill and they were eating grass. But suddenly they spotted the calves on the bottom of the hill. Although the calves were older and weren't generally accustomed to taking milk, still immediately the cows, they all, with their tails raised, began to run down the hill of Govardhan at such a rapid speed. So the cowherd men became very angry because they thought they were in control. And suddenly they couldn't even control the cows anymore. And they were running down. So in great anger, the cowherd men started to run after them. And when they got to the bottom of the hill, immediately they offered their milk to the calves, who began to drink the milk. So the cowherd men were embarrassed. They thought, we can't even take care of the cows. And they came down in great anger. But as soon as they came to the bottom of the hill and they saw their sons, their hearts melted in ecstasy. They immediately picked up their sons and smelt their heads. And tears of love came down from their eyes and they forgot what they ran down the hill for. And then they just took the cows and they just walked back the hill. So Baladevi saw this and said, how is this possible that these cowherd boys and these calves are invoking such love from the cows and from the cowherd men? So he realized that these must be expansions of Krishna. So then he asked Krishna, why have you expanded into so many cowherd boys and calves? And then Krishna told him the mystery of how the real cowherd boys and the calves had been stolen by Brahma. So this is inconceivable energy of Krishna, Achintya Shakti, how he, although he's Krishna, he can appear as anyone. And not only appear as anyone, just like, I think there was some movie, I saw a preview one time, they had some movie about some, with Albert Schweitzer. It was called The Terminator, I think. Schwarzenegger, is that? The Terminator. So I think in the movie there was some alien, he could assume the form of anyone. He kept assuming different forms. But ultimately, he wasn't Krishna. And he ultimately was terminated too. But Krishna, he is every form. So he can expand himself unlimitedly and assume anyone's personality, anyone's form. That's the Eka Desha Sitasyagya Joshnad Vistra Niyata Parasya Brahmana Shakti Satedam Akilam Jagat. That Krishna is expanding his energies, so although we may be proud of being Krishna's energy, but we're only a little particle of Krishna's energy. And we should understand that whatever we can do, Krishna can do better. That whatever we are, Krishna is unlimitedly greater. So, of course, we shouldn't become disappointed that it's unfair. You know, Krishna has a head start on everyone because he's God. And although we're trying to catch up, we just can't do it. One shouldn't be disappointed because just like we have a tendency to love, and that's the energy of the soul, is to love. So we try to love ourselves, there's not much to love. Although we've been doing it since time immemorial. Trying to love ourselves. Just like a little child takes his thumb and sucks on his thumb. There's not so much taste, but somehow or another he gets into it. If he offers his thumb to someone else, he'd try it out. No one will take it. Maybe his mother, I don't know. But generally no one will take the thumb. But he's getting a kick out of his own thumb, because it's his. So similarly, we love ourselves, and we're trying to, you know, taste ourselves since time immemorial, and offering ourselves to everyone else. Here, taste me, aren't I sweet? But no one else is getting the same kick out of ourselves as we are. But Krishna, he has unlimited taste. He's rasa vai saha. He's the unlimited source of rasa. And if one tries to love Krishna, then that's called Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam kutopi labhyate tatra loyam mulyanam ekalam mulyam janma koti sukritarna labhyate. To actually taste Krishna, to love Krishna means that one becomes absorbed in an unlimited ocean of mellows. So although Krishna is unlimited and we can't compete with him in terms of taste or rasa, but the devotee, he gets the chance to appreciate and enjoy that rasa to an unlimited extent, the rasa of loving Krishna. So that's the devotee, actually, he loves himself, but when he becomes Krishna conscious, then he loves Krishna unlimitedly more than even his own self. Because he can only get so much happiness from himself, but he can get unlimited happiness by loving Krishna. So even Krishna saw that Srimati Radharani, she was loving him, and she was getting more happiness out of loving him than he was by loving her. So he wanted to find out why. What is it, the taste that Radharani is experiencing by loving me? And what is the happiness that she experiences by loving me? What is the happiness she feels when she feels my love? And what is the happiness she feels when she feels her own love, and what are the wonderful qualities I possess that give her unlimited pleasure. So even Krishna wanted to experience that, so he came in the same mood as Radharani, so he could experience the same love that Radharani was experiencing. So this is the mystery of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although ordinary persons can't understand that, but then again, ordinary persons can't even understand that they're not their body. They can't even understand how God has put the sun in the sky, and because God has put it there, by His energy, it can float. Just like the scientists, if some little boy comes along and says, I put the satellite in orbit, that no one will believe him, because he has no ability. And if some scientist says, no, I did it, but I know how to do it, and I put it there, then I won't say, yes, that's how it was done. But if God comes along and puts the sun in the sky, people won't accept it. They think, oh, it must have been an accident, because no, I can't do it, no one can do it. Just like if the boy says, the satellite in the sky must be an accident, because I can't do it, it can't be done. If some little boy comes along and says, I put the satellite in orbit, then no one will believe him, because he has no ability. And if some scientist says, no, I did it, that I know how to do it, and I put it there, then I won't say, yes, that's how it was done. But if God comes along and puts the sun in the sky, people won't accept it. They think, oh, it must have been an accident, because no, I can't do it, no one can do it. Just like if the boy says, the satellite in the sky must be an accident, because I can't do it, it can't be done. But a more intelligent person realizes that the most intelligent person, a more intelligent person than ourselves, must have put the sun in the sky. Just like a spaceship, or a rocket ship, or an airplane, or an automobile. When we see it, we understand, because it's more intelligently made than an intelligent person must have made it. So if we see planets floating in their orbits, we see so many wonderful things, we must conclude that the most intelligent person has put it there by his inconceivable energies. Not only one planet, but unlimited planets. So those who have more intelligence, they can understand how Krishna is God, and those who have an even more intelligence, they can understand how God himself finds himself happier being a devotee than being God. In the material world, everyone wants to become God, and in the spiritual world, everyone, even God himself and everyone else, want to become a devotee of God. So that's the difference between the material and the spiritual world. Of course, Krishna is also happy being God, we shouldn't think. That's his only business. He's happy being God too. And he's happier being a devotee of God. So we can be God also, little God, but we'll never become the big God. But we can become more than the big God by becoming a devotee of God. Just like one devotee prays that I don't want to see Krishna, or I don't want to worship Krishna, I'm going to worship Nanda Maharaj, because Krishna, as a little boy, is crawling in his yard as a baby of Nanda Maharaj. So why should I worship this baby? I should worship the person who's controlling this little baby, Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, it is prayed, Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanustha Dhamma Vrindaranam Rajavadu Varagena Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pamartha Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Idam Matam Idam Tatrarya Vapara. So the devotee's praying not just to worship God, but he's worshiping God in the form of the son of the Isha of Vrindavan, that is Nanda Maharaj, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So this is Krishna in his most relishable form. This is the form that can only attract devotees in a certain mood. Generally, everyone is oppressed by opulence and power. Especially in this material world, everyone is trying to get opulence and power. But at the same time, what really impresses people the most, what they're always talking about, is true love. I used to have a song when I was younger, probably one of the few songs I remember, that true love never dies. And that's true. True love never dies. That's why there is no true love in this material world, because everyone dies. That true love is in the spiritual consciousness between Radha and Krishna. So everyone is actually attracted and hankering for that love between Radha and Krishna. Unfortunately, due to ignorance, people are trying to imitate it, just like trying to enjoy an apple in the water, the example is given. That anyone who tries to enjoy apples in water, you can go to the reservoir of water and the tree is standing there and there's a reflection and there are so many apples in the water. So those who are trying to sell the apples that are in the water, those who are buying the apples in the water, those who are diving in the water to get what they bought, they deserve what they get, which is nothing. So those who are intelligent, they try to understand where the real tree is. Urdvamadam, urdvamalamadakshakam, ashvatam prahur aviyam, jidansi yasya parnani, yastvam veda savedavit. What's the first word? No. What's that? Adasya chordvam pravitastasya sakya guna pravrita vishaya pravala. We got the wrong verse. Anyhow, narupamasya hetato palabhyate tadasya nachantan namadyam na sampratishta ashvatamenam saviruyamulam asanga shastrena dridena chidva tatakpatam tatparimargitavyam yasmingata na vivartante buya tadeva padye tadeva chanyam purusha prapadye yatak prariti prasritas purani. Thereafter one must seek that end, narupamasyaya tato palabhyate. One must seek that place which has no middle, beginning, or end. And having go there, one has to surrender to the Supreme Lord. One has to cut out the strongly rooted tree by the weapon of detachment. In other words, to go back to that spiritual consciousness, to go back to the spiritual world, one has to do it with the weapon of detachment. That as long as one is thinking that somehow or another I'm going to become happy in this material world, then he's going to say, let me wait around for a while and see what's going to happen. Just like Prabhupada, one time he was describing what the end of Kali Yuga is going to be like. In one talk, TV show, big TV show in America. So the interviewer was asking him, you describe the horrors of this age, what will it be like at the end of the age? So Prabhupada was describing how everyone will be around, the basketball players at that time will be 2 feet high. 3/4 of a meter high. Those will be the giants. That the ladies, it is said, they'll have children when they're 5 years old. And by the time you're 10, you're finished. You're already, you're over the hill. You're ready for the retirement home. And then people will eat each other. Especially they'll eat their children, they'll have children just to eat them. And their major sport, if you turn on television, it'll be the demons hunting the devotees. That will be the major sport. So the announcer asked Prabhupada, where will your followers be at the end of Kali Yuga? So Prabhupada said they won't be here to see all the fun. So those who want to stick around in the material world, who have hope that their astrologers predicted that they'll have an auspicious future, they can wait here and see what's going to happen. But it's already predicted what's going to happen. It was inauspicious in the beginning of Kali Yuga, and it'll be inauspicious at the end of Kali Yuga. And what will happen at the beginning of Satya Yuga, gradually things will begin degrading again. So this is the nature of the material world. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshana. That it's a place of misery, that even Brahma is suffering. Brahma, who's created everything, who everything is going under his direction, he ultimately isn't that happy either. He ultimately is in fear of when death is going to overtake him. Unless he's a pure devotee like Haridas Thakura, that one will be in perpetual anxiety about what his future is, because everyone knows his future is not very bright. Therefore, one should take the opportunity, try to become Krishna conscious, and not become disturbed over the so-called happiness and distress of material existence, because as soon as one wants to obtain happiness, he'll obtain at least as much distress. And as soon as there's some distress, then as soon as it's gone, then when it's gone, we call that happiness. So this happiness and distress in the material world, there are different phases of illusion, but our Krishna consciousness, that's reality. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
Somewhere on the first pages that you read, there was a mention of Gunja garland or something like that. What is that exactly? Because I heard so many different things, that it's either berries or flowers or small consoles.
Well, of course, it may be kunja seeds, but if it says flowers, as a garland, then it must be a garland of flowers. I don't remember if it's... There was the... Do we have a botanist here?
Actually, the is red and black. Kind of green.
So that's kunja berries? Those are the berries. So that's the garland it's referring to? There's that in Vrindavan, there's that seed which is black and whitish.
Yeah, but it's also red and white.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered that to Raghunath Das. Those are berries. Those are like berries. Anyhow, anything else? Yes?
Although we engage in devotional service, so much time we have to engage in material things also.
Really?
I mean, work with material energy.
Do you think it's material? What's the difference between material and spiritual energy? Oh, how can it, if it comes from Krishna, how can it be material? Anything used in Krishna's service isn't material anymore. It becomes spiritual. It becomes spiritual because the difference between material and spiritual is our consciousness. If we think it's for our enjoyment, then it's seen as material. If we think it's for Krishna's enjoyment, then we'll remember that it's actually spiritual because we'll see it in relation to Krishna. So everything is actually spiritual because it all comes from Krishna. But when we forget that, then it's seen as material. Yeah. Everything depends on us. Of course, something depends on Krishna too. But if we want to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will help us. Krishna never asked anyone to fall into Maya. Anything else?
It is stated how Krishna is manifesting completely different personalities. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read many times his personalities like one another also has different persons in them. Is that something similar to what Krishna is doing, or is it not to be compared?
Well, I don't know if they have like different persons in them. I don't know that either. I don't think it's like that. They may have different aspects of their personality. Therefore, in that sense, but I don't, you know, just like Ramananda Roy, he said he's partially an incarnation of Arjuna, and partially he's an incarnation of Vishakha Gopi. But in his incarnation of Arjuna, just like Krishna was asking, Arjuna was asking Krishna questions, and he was giving answers. So he had that relationship with Lord Chaitanya. So that aspect of his personality came out. And also he was acting as the assistant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of in the mood of Radharani. He was acting as an assistant in the mood of Vishakha Gopi. So I don't know whether it was like Arjuna was there and they were having a tag team. You know, tag team or, you know, pass the baton on to the next relay runner. It's time for a Vishakha to come out. I don't think it was like that. I think just as Krishna reciprocates according to the mood of the devotee, so sometimes the devotee, he manifests different moods according to the mood of Krishna.
One class on Dhiraj Maharaj, and he was saying that the Bhishma Dev, there was a Bhishma Dev from the spiritual world and Bhishma Dev from heavenly planets joining one Bhishma.
I don't exactly know if people like join or merge exactly like that. I mean, Krishna may be able to do that, but it is explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that the, for instance, Jasoda, she was an expansion. Or Dara and the different incarnations of Krishna's parents, they're expansions of the original parents in the spiritual world. So they're expansions, but I don't know about, you know, different persons merging into one and coming out someone else. Everyone always has their same person, individuality. You never merge into someone else. But different aspects of your personality may come out. And sometimes for the more exalted personalities, they can expand sometimes even as demigods and manifest different personalities in that form.
For instance, Yudhishthira is a partial incarnation of Dharmaraj. What does that mean then?
He manifests some of the qualities of Dharmaraj, of Dharma, of his father, Yamaraj. So, just as Krishna has all unlimited qualities, so the devotees also have so many different qualities, and sometimes they can manifest different personalities and qualities. That way they become incarnations. Yeah.
But in Panchatattva, they also, in Krishna Lila, they also playing their role.
Yeah, sure. It was explained here. Narada Muni. Is Shivas Thakur is Narada Muni, Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani, Advaita Acharya is a combination of, well, he's like a real combination, Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. God can do that. And Lord Nityananda is Balaram, and Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Prabhupada.